The U.S. has been trying to give the Sunnis more power. One part of that strategy is having the military work with former Sunni insurgents and Sunni tribal leaders. These Sunni groups are called Awakening Councils. The Awakening Councils have been important in fighting al-Qaeda in extremely volatile regions in Iraq, such as Diyala province. But these fighters are starting to feel unappreciated, and they're starting to balk at cooperating with the U.S. Sudarshan Raghavan is the Washington Post's Baghdad bureau chief, and he's spoken to a number of these Awakening Council leaders in and around Baghdad. He joins us by phone from Amman, Jordan. Welcome to the program.
Good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Now, you went and interviewed some 20 leaders of these Awakening Councils, and what did they tell you?
Well, they did express a great amount of frustration, and this frustration is on several different levels. One reason is that they're being attacked. In fact, according to the U.S. military, attacks against these Awakening groups have quadrupled since October. They feel that the U.S. is not giving them enough support in terms of weapons and funding to deal with the Al Qaeda in Iraq group. Second reason is that they're feeling politically frustrated. There's about 80,000 of these predominantly Sunni Awakening soldiers around the country, and basically in a place like Diyala, for instance, they want to have more control of their region, to be more part of the government. In particular, they're complaining about the Shiite police chief in charge of Diyala province, who they've accused of committing torture against Sunnis. The government has denied this, so has the Shiite police chief. But the U.S. military is increasingly finding itself in between these Sunni Awakening Councils and the Shiite-led government. So there's deep frustration for that reason, too.
So they're feeling like they're doing all this work trying to quell the violence, and they're working with the American military, and they're being targeted by Shiite death squads and by al-Qaeda in Iraq, and it's just too dangerous for them?
That's part of the reason. And the other reason is that, in recent weeks, they've actually been attacked by U.S. troops themselves. There's been several incidences where U.S. troops during raids have inadvertently killed these Sunni Awakening groups. The U.S. military says that these men had drawn weapons against them, so they fired in self-defense. But when you talk to the Sunni Awakening leaders, they're asking questions like, why are we partnering with the U.S. military when U.S. military soldiers are killing our fighters? So that's another source of frustration. Now, we need to qualify all of this because, this is happening in some areas of Iraq. Largely, the U.S. military still is able to harness these groups and effectively, and in most areas, they are still protecting their areas and are invaluable to the U.S. strategy to pacify Iraq.
To be realistic for a minute, where can these Sunni groups go? Because they have split away from the more radical side of the Sunni insurgency and aligned themselves with the Americans. Do they have anywhere else that they can go?
Well, I mean, the big fear amongst many U.S. commanders is that these groups could get so frustrated that they return back to the insurgency, and the concern of when you talk to Shiite politicians in the government, many of them are worried that these groups could actually one day turn against the government itself. You have to understand that many of these groups have had long frustrations with Al Qaeda in Iraq. I mean, these groups are they include Sunni tribal leaders, they include former Saddam officers in Saddam Hussein's army, as well as former members of his BAT party. They can quite easily return back to the insurgency, but at the same time, still remain away from al-Qaeda in Iraq.
Sudarshan Raghavan is the Baghdad bureau chief for the Washington Post. He joined us from Amman, Jordan. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Good to be with you.
And here to talk more about the Awakening Councils in Iraq is Richard Schultz. He wrote a book called Insurgents, Terrorists, and Militias, The Warriors of Contemporary Combat. He's also a professor of international politics at the Fletcher School in Boston. Professor Schultz, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
First, tell us briefly why the United States began working with these former insurgents in Iraq and why the insurgents agreed to work with the U.S. It seems that these are some strange bedfellows.
It would seem. Initially, the tribes in Anbar were on the side of the insurgents because, they looked at the U.S. Invasion ending in a process whereby they would have lost their influential and power position in Iraq. The Sunnis have dominated Iraq at least since the 16th century. So, you know, they were the losers. But what they found is that the insurgency included groups that ended up being hostile to their way of life.
So these Awakening Council members were put off by this form of insurgency, of this more conservative approach to Islam, and decided, well, it would be better to cast our lot with the Americans?
Yeah, and the reason is that once Zarqawi and the jihadis took control of a place, let's say Fallujah, what they did was they began to enforce a social regime that very much looked like what the Taliban did in Afghanistan. You know, for local Sunnis who have a much more, let's say, laid-back view of Islam, the jihadis started to not just criticize them, but punish them. What they did was they started killing some of these tribal sheikhs, and they killed a bunch of them.
There was an article recently in the Washington Post where the reporter actually went and interviewed some 20 leaders of these Awakening Councils, and they all seem very angry with the United States and with their lack of progress in terms of getting them into these political posts. Or what could this mean in terms of the security of Iraq if this relationship is fraying and may dissolve?
Well, of course, it would be a disaster because the center of gravity for the insurgency was in Anbar and Diyala and in some of the areas that Anbar borders. So this would be a big step backwards.
And what can the United States do to prevent that?
Well, as long as we're there, we pay them. You know, we work with them. The bigger question is the one that no one has an answer for right now. And that is, how does Iraq exist in 2 years, let's say, or 3 years when the U.S. is finally out of there? That's a political equation that has really proved to be pretty difficult to negotiate, as you can see in these stories that you're referring to.
Because without the United States there paying them. And
but, you know, you have to also, I mean, let's give these guys some credit. I mean, they have proven to be pretty good. And with in conjunction with the Marines, they have leveled what I would consider a significant defeat on Al Qaeda in Iraq. I mean, so you know, they upheld and have contributed to their end of the bargain.
That's Richard Schultz. He's a professor of international politics and also author of the book Insurgents, Terrorists, and Militias: The Warriors of Contemporary Combat. Thank you again.
My pleasure.